8:32 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Conn on vacation. Joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline, with Masson, he is Ben Wagner. What's going on, Ben?
Oh, my man, fighting the raindrops again. Can you make it stop, please?
Oh, well, they call me Rain Delay Rob, so, you know, I don't feel sorry for you when it happens when I'm not working. That way, Adam Mardian can't blame me for it. So you're on your own right now. Listen, Ben, I was just telling Ed, you know, you know what's going on in that clubhouse. You go to games even when you're not working. You're in the clubhouse. You're in the managerial press conference. I was about to say Brandon Hyde, but now Tony Massolino. You're in those pregame press conferences. Last night, the Cardinals came into that game 0-16 when trailing after seven innings. They're now 1-16. It's been that type of year for this team. Can you explain what's happened from last year to this year with this baseball team?
Well, you thought at the end of the games it was only going to get stronger, right, with Felix Bautista being on the back end of that thing. But what has happened at various points, we've seen inconsistency from Gregory Soto, Sir Anthony Dominguez, and more frequently, and maybe surprisingly, the biggest is Yennier Cano not being able to slam the door and get some outs. And what was really concerning about last night is with how crisp on Memorial Day that bullpen was. The 9-for-9, Sir Anthony Dominguez comes out of the bullpen, Yennier Cano, and then Felix Bautista, 9 up, 9 down, no questions asked, and it was just quick and dirty. I mean, it was the bullpen of the Orioles that you love to see. So then the step back last night was certainly disappointing. But for me, too, let's remember, with the Cardinals in that late-game situation and the opportunity that they were given, or that was taken away from the Orioles, the Brian Baker home run that he allowed wasn't an awful pitch. You know, it was running down and away. Arenado just kind of got out in front of it and buggy whipped the thing into the splash zone. It's the defense that followed and two plays that weren't made that allowed for that cushion for the Cardinals to kind of cruise to a victory last night. And when you're dealing with Ryan Helsley, I mean, it's tough to get that guy to do anything other than throw 100 miles an hour. So it was an uphill climb late in the game situation. But, you know, the things that kind of snowball is, all right, so you have a big inning by the Cardinals. Okay, you're still in the game. You're only down 3 runs. But the problem is the next inning, a 1-2-3 frame on 7 pitches.
Yeah.
Nobody worked in at bat. It was just done. And now all of a sudden you go from playing with 9-6 outs to 3 outs just more rapidly. And that was what's, again, just another disappointing approach in a sequence of things that unravel quickly. And that to me is where this team hasn't grown. This team hasn't taken the next step to try to rectify or slam the door on these things.
Is there any indication, I'm going to talk about Adley Rutschman, that his problems are, I mean, not the current injury, but related to an injury from last year? Because he went from being the face of the team, second half of the season, he falls off. He continues this season. Now he gets hit in the noggin. He's out. But, I mean, any indication he's hurt or there's something else going on with him?
Present day, I was told that if everything went okay with his medicals, he was going to ramp up, get on the field yesterday, take lots of rounds of BP, and then if everything, again, checked out when he got to the ballpark today and Mother Nature stepping in the way, he would be cleared to go if he was good to go. So that's the good news in the short term after taking the foul ball off the mask and going through the different baseline tests at Major League Baseball and the Orioles run him through. So that's the present day. So the good news is Adley is very close to returning to be available for the Orioles and get back in the lineup. I'm with you. I thought the foul ball last year that went off his hand was an impact, and he won't admit it, and he has not admitted it, that it was the issue, that it was the downturn in production. But man, it certainly looked from the date that the foul ball went off of him against the Rangers, the production and everything. The slug dropped, the OPS dropped, the overall eye test told you that it made an impact. Remember, there was a foul ball that went off his hand this year as well. So not that he was performing at the level as he was early in the first couple of months last year, but the Orioles are very tight-lipped on it. We don't see Adley a lot, you know, to get into his ear and really press him on, you know, an opportunity to really divulge or find out, you know, what, how, if this is a lingering effect or a compound effect of what has happened to him with those foul balls coming down on his hand and how it affects, you know, him holding the bat and trying to get back to the offensive superstar from both sides of the plate that you expect. But, you know, it's just been a grind on many Orioles at one time, and that's why they're in the situation.
Yeah. Ryan Wagner joins us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ben Wagner, I'm sorry, joins us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. And I said Ryan because that's the person I was going to ask you about.
That's my brother.
Ryan Mountcastle did have three hits last night, but overall he's batting .235 on the year with just two home runs. OPS in the low sixes, 6.06. What has happened to Ryan Mountcastle?
That's a great question. He certainly has tried to pull the ball more, and I don't know if that's opened everything up leading into this season where he was so focused on going up the middle the last couple of years because he didn't want to worry about the wall in left field. But maybe the wall coming in had a reverse effect on Ryan Mountcastle. He had a couple of doubles yesterday too, which I thought were really encouraging. But we have not seen the drive that we saw in spring training and early in the season from Mountie that we saw. And I've talked with him around the cage a number of times, and he's been doing early afternoon workouts, and it's a timing mechanism for Mountie. He's been leaking out over the plate a little bit.
Ben, you think these guys work out too much? You think these guys work out too much? Because
good
I mean,
Lord, yeah, I do. Yeah, this is where I have some old school Ben Wagner, you know, yell at the clouds, baseball approach. I put a lot of value into batting practice and players that go through so many things in their routine every day that sometimes being on the field is a good thing and seeing how the ball jumps off the bat, how the ball is carrying on a certain day with your swing. You know, I've had players tell me they take 300-400 swings a day in the cage.
Too much.
And that seems like an absurd number. I wish I had the stamina to do anything 300-400 times a day, but this is the life of a 45-year-old man. I do. You know, old baseball grizzled guys will sit around and say, well, you know, you can't pull fat. And I've never strained. I didn't even know I had an oblique. And, yeah, they come up with all these adages and, you know, these grisly stories. And that's great. But, you know, it's an alarming thing right now in the game where the injuries are just rampant. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's no time off for these guys. They work out like crazy. They work out before the game. They work out after the game. Then they're expected to perform at an elite level and sometimes very strenuous ways that they move and twist their body. And the injuries mount up.
Did you see the Detroit Tigers coming this year?
I thought they would be better.
Yeah, better. Yes.
I certainly thought I knew they would be good. I thought their pitching and certainly their young players, if they took a step forward, they had a chance to really improve. Do I think that they would have the top winning total at this point in the game? No chance. I didn't see that one coming. You knew that they would be very exciting and a big team to watch every fifth day with the best pitcher in the game on the hill in Tarek Skubal. But to put it all together the way that they have and really quickly in this turnaround too is very impressive. Very impressive. You know, they've got good leadership right now. They had a vision and they have the talent to start to put it together. But what Riley Green has done, what Spencer Torkelson has done is remarkable. And they did it as well with somebody that was a little bit of a problem, you know, on the field and in the clubhouse. But Javier Baez has turned back the clock.
Yes, he has.
By a decade. You know, he looks like 2015, 2016 Javier Baez. And the guy that the Tigers rolled out, one of the largest contract commitments that they have recently made, you know, since the heyday when they were pushing for the division and the pennant.
Once again, proof that guys grew up, you know? He's grown up.
Well, sometimes you need a little truth serum, you know?
Yeah.
And Javier Baez certainly is playing like a kid again, and I think that had certainly a good effect on the rest of the Tigers.
There he is, Ben Wagner. Ben, thanks a lot, my friend. I hope they get it in tonight.
Hope so. Hope a W, too.
Oh, that definitely.
I appreciate you guys.
All right, man. Thank you.